The productivity shift is by and large for women who are solopreneurs, who are running small businesses, who are leading teams, because it's acknowledging that there is just the additional mental load that we've been conditioned by society to carry, right? And being able to navigate that world and do all the things that we want to do requires a different take.
Well, hey there, driven woman entrepreneur. Today's interview with productivity coach Elise Enriquez is a breath of fresh air. Instead of the hardcore productivity dogma we're so used to hearing, Elise teaches instead the importance of running experiments and trying new paths, something she learned while playing competitive sports with coaches that encouraged her to learn from failure. After all, most women have not been taught or trained to see value in making mistakes. So when they start a business, that puts them at a serious disadvantage. Our conversation also delves into the challenges faced in particular by female solopreneurs, including the pressure to do it all and the misconception of flexible time. What we need now is to create spaces for bravery, creativity, and flexibility. So let's get into it right now. So Elise, you and I both know there are no shortage of productivity coaches and speakers, and there's certainly no shortage of productivity-focused podcasts, but yours is different starting with the title. Your podcast is called The Productivity Shift. Can you take us into that as we're getting started in what I know is going to be an amazing conversation?
Aw, thanks for having me. Yeah, I would love to bring you into why the productivity shift, where did that come from? It was this realization that anything that we're going to do, just like with our marketing, these things take time, right? We got to try things out. We have to run experiments. We got to see what's going on in order to figure out what's really going to work for us. We have to try things in the real world. And so I originally had thought it was going to be like the productivity breakthrough, the productivity revolution, or, you know, something extreme and fast. And it's just like, none of this is fast. All of this is changes in our mindset. It's changes in our behaviors. It's changes in our habits. And all of those things take time. So that's one part of it about it being a shift, to kind of imply a slower progressive kind of process. But the other part of it is shifting away, like you said, from all the different kinds of productivity out there, especially the kind of productivity that is touted by, you know, white men and white collars that have assistants and wives and other people supporting them. The productivity shift is by and large for women who are solopreneurs, who are running small businesses, who are leading teams, because it's acknowledging that there is just the additional mental load that we've been conditioned by society to carry, right? And being able to navigate that world and do all the things that we want to do requires a different take. And so that's the other shift component of the productivity shift.
So your take on productivity is not get more done and make it happen as fast as possible.
No.
It's accept the fact that productivity is not about getting more done. It's about getting the right things done at the right time for the right reasons, and taking your whole business and the rest of your life into consideration. Yes. When setting those productivity goals, because that's definitely something you do very differently, because I listen to a lot of productivity shows, or have listened to a lot of productivity shows. And you're so right. It's most of the bros who do not acknowledge the privilege of how much support they have behind the scenes. And it sort of conveys the impression that it's a level playing field, but it really isn't. So that sets us up for unrealistic expectations and then blaming ourselves when we don't reach them.
Yeah. And I think it's the way I like to define productivity is really close to what you were just saying. Like, so you get me. You already get me, Diane. I love it. The way I think about it is productivity is really about making progress on what matters most to you, while still remaining present to the people, experiences, and opportunities that are all around you. In other words, it's like, yeah, get stuff done, right? Get stuff done that matters to you and enjoy the life that you currently have. One of my biggest wake-up calls came during my divorce, and I was falling in love with somebody else. I was in the middle of a divorce, falling in love with somebody else, and was just like, this is not the right time, right? Like, and my sister was like, yeah, I hear you. That might be hard for him that this is happening, you know, for my ex, that this is that you are so ready to move on. And she's like, but I can tell this person really cares for you, and I can tell you really care for her. She's like, life's too effing short, man. Go for it. And I was just like, what the, like, what? No, you're not supposed to, you're supposed to stop me from doing this crazy thing right now, right? This is a very disruptive thing. But that connection, that meaningful relationship, like, that's what mattered most. At that moment, that was productivity. It was me making progress on making a connection with somebody that I felt so compelled to connect with, right? And so that mattered most. Sometimes what matters most is lunch with your best friend. Sometimes what matters most is a nap. And sometimes what matters most is a presentation you're going to give tomorrow, right? So there's it, you get to decide, though. That's the key, is that you get to decide what matters most. And I think that for women especially, we have a lot of other people's expectations on us. And I want you to start to shed that and be able to say, no, but what do I want? What do I want to make progress on? And how can I do that in a way where I don't miss out on all the goodness that's happening around me right now? Because life's too effing short.
That right there is the productivity shift. Mm-hmm. Because how many people who teach other people how to be more productive actually give them permission to identify what matters most to them, the flexibility to kind of triage your life from one moment, one week, one season to the next. And when you're moving forward on the things that matter most, you're being productive in the way that makes the biggest difference. You're not going to hear that advice from other people. And I think the type of productivity that's been taught by so many, and unfortunately, not just men, you know, I mean, I'm
women as well.
I think so many of the well-known women in the online business space in particular, many of us hired these women, gave lots of money to these women, bought their courses, read their books, listened to their podcasts, joined their memberships, paid them for coaching, but we were given the same advice that we could have gotten from the bros. And I think that has led to a level of almost betrayal.
Yeah.
So that we don't know who to trust anymore. And your entire business model starts with trusting yourself. So apart from the fact that we are growing up and have grown up in a society that fundamentally teaches us not to trust ourselves, what are some of the other struggles that women in particular have with productivity? Because I know there's a lot more.
Yeah, no, there are. I mean, a lot of it is there are a lot of attempts because of all the tactics that are out there. So I think I think that's one of the big keys, is that what's getting taught in productivity a lot of the time is tactics and not strategy. There's a menu of tactics that you can choose from, but if you don't have a strategy in place, it's kind of a mishmash and it doesn't work well together, right? And so you might hear all these life hacks and productivity hacks, but what is it that you're trying to do, right? So a lot of times they've tried things, either just the wrong thing and they don't know how to make those adjustments, or they're scattered. They have so many tools and so many apps and so many ways because they know they're supposed to try to capture it all, right? But they don't have a way that's working for them. And sometimes it's hard to see that for yourself, right? Sometimes it's hard to see what works for you. I mean, that's why coaches exist. That's why therapists exist, is that they help you see your own stuff. Right. You know, whatever stuff might be, right? Your patterns, you know, the patterns of success, the patterns of failure, so that you can figure out like the best approach for you. But oftentimes it's just everything is so scattered, you know, tons of notebooks, tons of apps, you know, all these things. And it's just like, oh gosh, let's just narrow it down a little bit. Because what happens is when you have things in so many places, you don't trust any of them. And when you don't trust any of them, then it all comes back to your own brain again and trying to count on yourself to remember the right things at the right time. And anybody who's ever gone to the grocery store without a list knows that your brain is not going to tell you the right thing at the right time. It never does, right? And so to think that we can do that for the rest of our everything else in our life, then we can't even do it with a grocery list. It's just ridiculous. Or it'd be like having your grocery list scattered in 10 different places and expecting to make a successful either grocery order or trip to the grocery store. It's just like, it's not going to happen. Sorry to use such domestic examples, but it's just a simple example. So that scatteredness is a big one. And it's because there is a desire for some structure and some organization. And so they're trying all these things, but it's all very half-hearted and not very committed. So that's one of them for sure.
Well, there's also the reality, Elise, that we are in a current business culture that is very heavily weighted towards promoting the quick fix, the tips, the tricks, the hacks. And I've had plenty of people say, so what are the top three things I need? Hold it right there, cowboy. Because the truth is that figuring out what's most important to you, figuring out what your priorities are in this season of your life, in this season of your business, in this season of your health, your relationships, your finances, it takes work. It takes self-awareness. It takes self-acceptance. It takes the desire to go beyond the surface. So all of the tips and tricks and hacks, they're going to get you maybe an inch of progress, but that's all they're meant to do. So then you have to look for another one and another one and another one and another one. Probably we all have, I don't know how many tools that we don't even use. Because we never went deep enough with any of them to learn what they can actually do for us, because shiny object syndrome, here's another new one, and this one promises to be the only tool I need. We talked a few minutes before we started recording about MacGyver, right? I think we all just want there to be the tool that ends all other tools, like the MacGyver, the Swiss Army knife. And so we keep spending money and wasting time looking for what I call the magic pill. It doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. And I think there's a lot of gifts that technology give us. I rely a lot on technology for my own productivity, but I've told technology what I want it to do. Right. So I think the problem that happens is people install these apps, they invest in software, expensive software, like big old like lead management, CRM, customer relation management systems, right? They invest in all this kind of stuff because they think the technology as it's built is going to solve their problem.
Yes.
And that's not how it works. If you have decided, I'm going to use this technology because it got pitched to you somehow, and somebody says, use this, this is going to solve all of your problems, and you haven't even defined what the problem is or how you want the solution to look like or what you want the experience of delivering that solution to be, if you haven't done that yet, then you're probably not going to pick the right technology, or you might pick the right technology and still not know how to use it. So the goal is for, I always tell people, I'm going to use MacGyver this time in a positive way. Like, work with what you got. Like, work if you got these Excel spreadsheets for now and your calendar, do that. Do whatever it takes to figure out what you need and break that. Like, make that reach its capacity, make it reach its limit in some way, because you either need more function or you need it to scale. And then you go shop for the technology that's going to do what you're trying to do. And then you make sure you tell that technology what you want it to do, because the default settings, who knows who created that? Sometimes that's just a programmer who created that knows nothing about your business, nothing about your clients that you support, nothing about how you like to do things, like at an emotional or cognitive level, right? And so it's being able to say, like, here's the experience I want to deliver to my customers. Here's the experience I want to have while I'm doing it. What's the technology that's going to support me in doing that? That's the key, because technology alone is not going to solve it.
You're describing the fact that we actually have a relationship with our business and a relationship with the technology that supports our business. And that's really the opposite of all the sales pages that we see that basically promise us the equivalent of, this tool is your soulmate.
Yes.
This tool is going to satisfy your every need. It's going to meet you in a place where you don't even have to ask. It's going to know what you need before you do, and it's going to meet that need. You are going to have peace of mind, connection. It's like, no, you're not. But I also think part of this is our culture where we teach like the soul mate, your soul dog, your soul business. And I think we extend that even to the tools that and tactics that we use. Like, I'm going to just keep looking for this one thing that's right. going to make everything else easier and maybe even effortless. It's not available. Yeah. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. I was actually just talking to somebody recently about this where she was just like, oh gosh, I'm using this one tool, but now I just learned about this other one. And now I wish this one did that. And so now I'm thinking, and she's talking about an entire platform change. She has her whole business set up on this one thing, but because this one other platform does this one other thing, she's like, maybe I shouldn't have done this. And I was like, hun, like, this is your tool stack. Like, you're going to just have a stack of tools. Like, every entrepreneur I talk to is frustrated by the number of apps and tools they need.
Mm-hmm.
It's just reality. Like, let's just accept that we don't want one tool to be able to do all the things well, all the things perfectly. We want some tools that do things really well. And maybe we're going to need another tool to do something else really well. And that's okay. But it still comes back to you deciding, what does really well actually look like? What does that actually mean? And it's hard to do as a solopreneur. It's hard to do as a small business owner because you developed your business somewhat intuitively over time, right? It was just kind of like what felt right, what worked and what didn't work. But if you weren't super reflective and captured every single one of those insights along the way, which most of us don't, right? We're just kind of winging it until we figure it out. We're building the plane as we fly it. Unless you're being really intentional in capturing that, you're not going to know exactly how to articulate what it is you do and what you want in a way that allows for like productivity tools or even people to come in and support you. And so it is taking that time to figure out what you want. Having said that, I have found that sometimes people are just so overwhelmed.
Yes.
Where they're at, that they can't think at that next level. They can't step back and observe. And so in those cases, it's really about building the simplest system possible to put things in front of you. So then you can start to see what those patterns are and start to see where the struggles are, or start to see where the rub is, right? So that way your brain isn't constantly trying to remember everything. You have something, what I call a bonus brain, that's remembering everything for you. So your actual brain can be observing and learning and deciding what it is you really want. But it's okay if you don't feel like you have the ability to be at the next level of thinking because the ground level is so freaking crazy right now. That's okay. There's ways to get it under enough control that then you can make better decisions moving forward.
One of the things that I have been most frustrated by in the last few years is that the loudest voices speaking specifically to female solopreneurs and female small business owners have been presenting the glamorization of self-employment along the lines of, hey, how can you even respect yourself if you're not a hashtag boss babe? Like, jump into the pool. It's easy, it's fast, it's fun, it's lucrative AF. You are just about going to make money in your sleep. Like, why are you still working for the man, girl? And the reality is that there is no one way to do things. And if you buy a cookie cutter solution, even if you love cookies, at some point, you're going to realize, you know what? This part of it works for me, but I want to burn this part down. And you're like, I didn't really figure this out. You were speaking about the women who figure it out on their own. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of us who have literally bought into the belief that somebody out there knows the way, because they seem to have a lot of testimonials and a lot of followers and all that. So I'm going to follow her and I'm going to do exactly what she says. And I'm going to end up basically being her. But
yeah, being exactly what she's doing. Yeah. Yeah.
But these people are not disclosing that they maybe have a stay-at-home spouse that does all the childcare and the housework and all that stuff. They are not disclosing they have a huge team. They are not disclosing the fact that they spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on social media ads every month.
Yeah, they're not showing you the net. They're talking gross. Yeah. They're always talking in their gross numbers, right, and not the net numbers of like you said, like how much they spend on support.
Yes.
Make that gross number happen.
Right. And so how this comes to the productivity shift is that women are starting businesses, trying to grow businesses, trying to sustain businesses without all the information they need about what it actually takes to be in business. So we can't really blame ourselves that we all have FOMO, that we all think, well, she seems to know more than I do because she seems to be further along than I am. So maybe I just need to buy the tools or technologies that she's using so I can be further along. And in my experience, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, I think the more we do that, the more we distance ourselves from the clarity that we actually need to make the kinds of productivity shifts that you teach.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely thoughts. Number one, I was playing around with ChatGPT the other day. I was like, hey, punch this up a little bit. Like I had written something. I'm like, punch it up a little bit. This sounds kind of boring. And they're like, hey, boss babes. I was like, oh no. And I wrote back to it. I was like, don't ever use boss babe in my copy ever.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare. And that might just be an age thing on my part. But I think it is because I am so worn out by the influencer type coaches that are out there, or the influencer type people that are out there that aren't helping people find their own way of doing things.
Yes.
I think I'm a big fan of models and overall systems that then people get help with figuring out how to make them their own. Because there are, like you said, a lot of challenges that people don't talk about, or they glamorize the solution to a problem instead, right? Instead of talking about the real problem and the real struggle. And so there's that part of it, because then you're not acknowledging the reality of running a business, which is there is stuff you're going to have to just keep doing over and over again.
Boring stuff.
There's just going to be boring,
tedious stuff.
Boring, tedious stuff that eventually, hopefully, you could offload to somebody, either a virtual assistant or you can hire somebody. Like, hopefully, right? Like, what I want for all of us is we're doing only the stuff that only we can do, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And when you're a solopreneur, you're wearing all the freaking hats. You're wearing all the freaking hats. So let's not glamorize that. like the highlights of it all so much. Let's be realistic about what this looks like so that people can make choices about whether or not they want to jump into that. Because solopreneur or entrepreneurship isn't for everybody. Some people really want stability. Some people want to be the supporter on a team. Not everybody wants to lead the charge and be in front of everything all the time, manage all the things all the time, have all of the kind of lack of constraints that like where you have to put in your own constraints on time to make sure you're doing the things that you really want to do. Because people know you run a business and they're like, my sister will call me and be like, what you doing? Like in the middle of the day, she'll be like, what you doing? And I'm like, working. I'm working. work from like eight to five. Yeah. And I just like, and it's, I know this is just her way of starting a conversation, but I, for the longest time, kind of like took offense. I'm like, I'm working because that's what I do. Like, what are you doing right now? And so it's just like, we like that doesn't get talked about, is that people just kind of think that your time is flexible. It's like, yeah, it is flexible sometimes, right? And that's part of why I chose this life is the time freedom. Mm-hmm. And that time freedom is a double-edged sword.
Oh, yes.
The running your own business and not having a boss, that's a double-edged sword. You are your own boss. That's hard. It's hard to do. And so that's where it keeps coming back to like having the simplest of systems possible, because this is hard. Let's keep it easy. Let's not make things so complicated. Let's not expect so much of ourselves, because that's the other thing that I think those other coaches out there do, is they pump it up so much that then we expect that we have to do all of these things. And it's just not possible. It's not possible to do all of the things. And that is one of the biggest roadblocks I see for women in business, is they think they should be able to do it all. It's just not possible. Unless you're like, you got that little time turner thing that Hermione Granger had in the Harry Potter series, where she could like turn back time and go do something else, and she could have multiple versions of herself running around. Like, nobody wants that, right? Because then you're not enjoying, because part of productivity, again, through my definition, is actually enjoying the life that you currently have. Yes, make progress. Yes, have dreams. Yes, have goals. And enjoy this life that's happening right now. This is the only one we get, as far as I know, right? As far as I'm conscious of.
Buddhist, so we might have a disagreement on that. But
it's the only one we experience, right? Like, we know that we can't, like, so there could be an afterlife, there could be multiple lives, there could be lots of things. But as far as our consciousness, we know this right now.
Yes. And I think you're making a very, very important point, is so much of the productivity discussion, productivity conversation, is future focused. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you need to figure this out so that. You need to get to this level so that you can do that. And a lot of people I hear say, well, I just need to get to the point where I can hire a virtual assistant. Okay, maybe, but why do you need to have a virtual assistant? Well, and usually the conversation starts to fall apart because they don't actually know why. And I think it's one of the stumbling blocks I've seen with a lot of people, you've seen with a lot of people. It's part of this glamorization of solopreneurship that you just
need. It's like a badge of honor. Like, I've got a VA.
Yes. And do you see how many people are referencing their team when you know damn well it's just them? And I think, why are we doing this? You know, it's like, there's a lot of complications about hiring a VA, but you're right. It is sort of touted as a badge of honor, but I'd love to hear from you. Yes, a VA can help you be more productive. Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Why do women have such a difficult time getting to the point where they're willing to hire a VA and know what to do with them once they have?
Well, I think part of it is, again, how we're socialized. Like, I think so much of it comes back to the societal expectations put on women. We're not supposed to ask for help. We're supposed to figure out how to do it on our own. Mm-hmm. We compete with each other. We don't collaborate with each other. It's just ridiculous. And so there, I think that's part of it, is it's hard to ask for help. We're supposed to do it on our own. We're supposed to figure it all out, right?
Yep.
But I think the other part, and it depends on different personality types, but part of it is like, oh, it's just like, I don't want to take the time to explain all this. I don't want to, they think it's going to be harder than it is. And it might be hard at first.
Yes.
But once you get over the hurdle, it's a lot easier. And when you have the right kind of VA, they're going to help you figure out how to make it easier. They're going to ask you the questions to help you make that happen. I know a couple of amazing VA companies where one of them does personality assessments for the business owner and pairs you up with the right VA based also on what it is you actually need. I mean, it's like, it's so brilliant. So they're doing a lot of coaching and you kind of have this one point of contact, and then they have multiple VAs that can do all the different things, but you have like this kind of account executive, right? That is servicing you and helping you as a business owner. But it still is going to take time for you again to say, what do I want? How do I want things done? Why does that matter to me, right? We don't take the time to do that. And so then to suddenly have to do it, it feels like a lot of heavy lifting. And that heavy lifting will be worth it. It will absolutely be worth it.
There's just no getting away from clarity as the first step. Like I always say, the first step is self-awareness and the second step is self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we know this is how I am and this is who I am. But we wish it weren't so. We wish we were a different kind of personality. We wish we had different drivers, different motivators, different ways of doing things. That is a colossal waste of time, as you know. But we get caught up so easily in thinking, I should be able to figure this out. I should be able to do this. And then we try to figure out how to make it so, instead of recognizing, okay, maybe that's what I need to do. That's an option.
Or
what else?
Or I shouldn't need this. That's a thing. So I used to always say, like, I work with self-aware individuals because I want that at least. Give me that. Because then I will get you to acceptance, right? I will get you to acceptance because when we have, so like you and I, like, we're like same page here. Yes, awareness is awesome. Acceptance, though, acceptance opens the door. Acceptance makes progress happen. And part of that acceptance is to stop saying, I shouldn't need this. And it could be seriously as simple as a second monitor. I remember working with somebody where they were so frustrated and I was just like, and they were like, it's this and this. And they were doing like the stuff they were doing, it was like how they were presenting, you know, and it was like Zooms and all these different things. And I was like, I mean, it just sounds like you need a second monitor. And she's like, well, I shouldn't need that. And this and that and blah, blah. I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I can't, I'm not making very much money in the business right now. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't. And I was like, it sounds like this is what you need though. I said, could you just like, do you have a buy nothing group in your neighborhood? Could you just post to a buy nothing group and see if somebody has a monitor laying around? And by the end of the day, she had a second monitor. And she was like, I don't know why I resisted this so much. It seriously could be that simple as I need a second monitor. It could be more complex or more emotionally challenging. Because I might need to be like, I need to have this conversation with somebody, right? Mm. I need to kind of take off that scab and expose, you know, some vulnerability and talk to somebody about this. Or I need to ask for help. Or I need to look at my finances. And I am not doing that, right? Whatever it might be to like give your, or I need somebody to be with me looking at my finances because it freaks me out. Whatever that is, when you have self-acceptance, you stop resisting what you know you need. I'm constantly saying, give yourself what you need. Just give yourself what you need, whatever that is. Give it to yourself. And again, coming back to like systems, build that into your systems. Build your needs as a business owner, as a woman navigating life, build that into whatever systems you have in place to support you. Everything about what I do is about helping you figure out what you need, give yourself what you need, and then put simple systems in place to support you in that. Like our systems should support us. They shouldn't dictate our lives. They shouldn't make us feel bad. They should support us in what it is we are trying to do. That's their job.
It's profoundly transformational to think about productivity in this way. And it at the same time saddens me, Elise, that most women need to be given permission to recognize what they need, accept that they need it, and take action to get it because of the way we are culturally conditioned to feel shame for acknowledging that we need help.
Or for having any needs.
Having
any effing needs at all. Like we should, like, we're not supposed to have needs. We're not supposed to be disruptive. We're not supposed to, you know what I mean? It's just, it's shocking the programming and conditioning we've all gone through. And I have hope. I have hope for the younger women that I'm seeing out there who are going after it and they're asking for what they want. And it's just like, and I think there's a lot of judgment that's happening of the younger generation. I'm like, that sounds like boundaries to me. I think there's a lot of good boundaries that are happening. You know, it's like, what if that's okay? What if it's okay for us to have boundaries and to ask for what we need? What, just ask, like, right? Why not just ask for what we want, ask for what we need and see what happens. And it's not like I like came into the world this way, right? Like most coaches, I'm teaching this work because this was the work I needed. This is the work I'm always working on. I'm not teaching this because I'm done. I'm not teaching this because it's like I figured it all out and I never procrastinate or I never resist a need. No, I'm always working on this and I like sharing that work and my discoveries and the results from my experiments with other people and helping them run their own experiments and helping them uncover their own insights, right? So the message that I deliver, hopefully doesn't, you know, people don't take it as coming from a like, oh, what's wrong with people? It's like, no, I'm with you, hon. Let's do this journey together.
No, I think it's the difference between someone who takes the stance of an expert, like I have it all figured out, pay me money, and I'll tell you my secrets versus this shit is hard. If it feels hard for you, that's because it is, not because you're a loser. Mm-hmm. Not because you're the only one that hasn't like figured it out. Like, this shit is hard. We need to support each other. This isn't a competition.
And here's a possible path forward, right? Here's a possible path forward. Let's try it. Let's try it and see what happens. You and I are both part of a really awesome community called the Expert Up Club with Michelle Mazur. And the reason why I felt so compelled to join that community was because she and I feel the same way about running experiments. There are so many people that come to me, they either say, just tell me what to do. And then I laugh.
Yes.
I laugh and I'm like, oh, that's cute. That's not how coaching works, number one.
That's not happening.
Or they can tell you every reason why they can't do X, Y, and Z. And I'm just like, oh, tell me more about that. And they haven't tried X, Y, and Z. They've just thought a lot about all the reasons why they can't do X, Y, and Z, right? And if there's a moral obligation, of course, let's not do X, Y, or Z. But if it's that you just haven't tried it yet, could we just try one of them and see how it goes and see what we learn? And it might not be the right thing, or it might just need a little tweak, and it's the perfect thing for now, right? And so it's so hard to watch how much energy is spent in our brains.
Yes.
Imagining all the paths and possibilities that we will not take because we are certain they're not going to work. And for me, it's like, just hop on this path. Let's just try this. Let's just try the simplest thing and take the next step and see how that feels. Let's just try it and see what happens. That's my biggest goal, is for people just, what's the next step? Let's try the next step. Let's see how that goes.
And changing things from a, you must do this, this is the way.
Yes.
Proven process, guaranteed results, inside secrets, to, hey, I don't know if it's going to work for you at this stage of your business or not, but let's give it a try. Because I'm a former shrink, and you know that, I'm always looking deep into why people do what they do. And the conclusion I've come to, Elise, is the reason why women in particular do this is because we are deathly afraid of making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I think this idea that I can't take action unless I'm certain, and the only way I'm going to be certain is by doing all the research, considering all the options, making the best choice, and then executing it flawlessly.
Flawlessly, yes.
It's the perfectionism coupled with feeling absolutely terrified of making a mistake, which is the complete opposite from what you say, which is, hey, I don't know if it's going to work for you or not. Let's give it a shot. Like, it's okay to make a mistake because you're just experimenting. Like, if you don't conduct experiments, how could you possibly know what's going to work or not? But we just don't want to make mistakes. Some of the most successful women I've met who don't struggle with this notion, who absolutely set their business up for all kinds of experiments, tend to be women who grew up playing competitive sports. I haven't completely figured out the connection, but I think it's because a lot of mistakes are made in sports.
Yeah. You have to keep trying, right?
You keep trying.
And you have coaches, right? You have somebody who's observing and saying, let's try this, right? When they're good, when they have a good coach, they're not saying only do this. They're watching that person's body. They're watching their mentality. And they're saying, okay, based on what I know about this person, let's try this approach, right? Because that's kind of what you're getting at earlier. And what I was saying, when people say, just tell me what to do, I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I can give you some like hot tips on productivity, like specifically, but that isn't going to give you sustained success. Like, that, I think that's the difference between a lot of productivity out there, is that you have people that came from project management. You have people that came from corporate America. I've been a coach for 14 years. I strike this dorky affinity for systems and tools and process. I strike that balance with like wanting to genuinely understand the person in front of me. And you know this as a former therapist, the patterns of success, the patterns of failure inform the experiments that you're going to run, right? Like, you're not going to run an experiment based on something you know isn't going to work because of past stuff. You're either going to tweak it or you're going to try something different based on a past pattern of success, right? And so I think that that's where with athletes, you have people that can observe, that can say, try this. And then you try it like 1,000 times, right? You try it over and over and over again until you get it right or until you have to try something different.
No, I think being willing to fail, being willing to make a mistake, being willing to feel stupid, incompetent, I think there needs to be a program for all women who have the audacity to start their own business that we must go through that literally teaches us how to fuck up, how to fail, how to take risks, how to make mistakes without coming to the conclusion that we are big old losers who need to go find a job, because that I think is one of the biggest differences. It's like you give them permission to try things with no guarantee of results, because it is in the trying that they develop confidence in themselves, not in a particular tool or technique.
Yes. Which, let's face it, makes it hard to market some of the things that we do, right?
Yes.
I can't promise results. Like, I can bring you strategies, I can observe patterns and share my insights with you. You are going to have to do something. You're going to have to try something. You don't get to just dismiss things out of hand. Again, unless it's like a moral obligation or your moral objection, obviously that's different. But other than that, you don't get to dismiss things out of hand and not try, not at least try. And I think it does require having the spaces for people to be in that support bravery. I don't talk about creating safe places because I know I can't guarantee somebody's safety. Like, I just honestly can't. There's all sorts of things I don't know about them that I can't guarantee that. But what I work on doing is creating spaces for people to be brave. And we all need those spaces. I need those spaces too. I'm creating them for other people, but that's part of me joining the Expert Up Club with you, right? It's like being able to have a space that supports me being brave in my own stuff, right? That's why I have a coach, right? That supports me having a place for me to be brave so I can be brave out in the rest of the world. So as much as, you know, it's about trying and experimenting, sometimes you need the brave spaces or the people who can help you feel brave, whether it's a professional or whether it's like a really good business bestie, right? They can help you be brave and try things so that you can then learn from what you tried. But to me, it's like, it's people kind of get focused on, like, I do word for the year stuff with people, and people will say, like, my word this year is fearless. And I'm like, oh my God, no, like, that's cute that you think you're never going to be afraid all year long. Obviously I don't respond that way. I'm way more gentle about it. But I was like, what if we considered something like brave, right? That allows you to have fear. You still get to have fear because fear is like just a normal reaction for us to have sometimes. But when it matters enough, you're going to be brave in the face of that fear. You're going to try it anyway. What if we tried bravery instead of fearless?
Elise, do you think you're a natural born risk taker? Because knowing you as I do, knowing your history, I mean, you had to be willing to take a risk, to make a mistake, to fail. When you followed your heart, when you started your business, when you started your podcast, when you and I even just reached out to have a coffee chat with each other weeks ago, like, it takes a willingness to take a risk, to maybe be rejected, to maybe feel embarrassed, to maybe, you know, wish you hadn't done something. Do you think you have that as a natural trait, or do you think you've developed it as a skill? You're laughing, so I have a feeling I know which way you're going to answer.
Well, it's funny. You're making me really think about it differently now, because my initial, when you first asked the question, I was like, I was laughing and shaking my head like, oh, hell no. When I really reflect back and think about it, somebody recently said something to me, which was very sweet. They were like, you were ahead of your time. I was like, what are you talking about? And what they meant was, way back in the olden days when I was the process and policy manager for the online advertising sales department at MSN and Microsoft, right? It was like this big title for me,
Did all that fit on a business card?
I think it was just a process and policy manager. But it was, you know, it was like a definitely an ego kind of building kind of thing. And it should have felt great, right? It should have, like, it was the pinnacle of my success at Microsoft. I was actually in a spot where I had an awesome boss that was just like, I dub you sheriff and you go do whatever you want to do. Like, he just got me and I didn't have anybody reporting to me. So I didn't have all that kind of stuff to deal with. And I was miserable. I was like the most highly paid I'd been yet. Like all of the things, right? Job security, all of it. I was miserable. And looking back, I know it took bravery to chuck all of that and try something different and go into the unknown. And I guess I didn't think about it as risk-taking as much as I thought of it as like purpose following. There's something in me that when it doesn't align with like my beliefs and who I am and the kind of impact I want to have in the world, I can't stay in it. So then I will take the risk, right? Having a business, keeping this business going after the pandemic and all that kind of stuff. It's been, to be honest, it's been a hard year in business for me. It would be a lot easier for me to go find a job and have benefits and do all that kind of stuff. And I have to pay for insurance. And I'm just like, I don't have it in me to do that. I have something else in me and I can't ignore it. And so I will keep taking these risks and having my own business. So I think I am a risk taker when, right? When there's that rub against who I am and the kind of impact I want to have in the world. And that's what I want for all of us, is for us to be able to know what's the kind of impact you want to have in the world and how are you going to do that? What I know is it's hard to know that when the ground level is so crazy and overwhelming. And when we can get some calm there, then you can start to find alignment in your day-to-day and the impact you're trying to have. And that's just always been my goal, is pursuing a daily life that I love that also allows me to progress towards the impact I want to have in the world.
So your risks are founded on alignment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? It's like, I can't do what doesn't feel aligned for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do it temporarily.
Yeah. Oh, I killed it where I was at Microsoft, right? Like, it was great. I'm like, I left on my terms. Like, people thought I was leaving to have a baby or something. I don't have kids. But they were just like, I remember my boss going like, are you pregnant? And like, total HR violation, I'm sure. But I knew he wasn't meaning it in any particular way. But he was just trying to understand, like, why are you leaving? Like, what's going on? And I was just like, God, no. If I was pregnant, I'd stay here and use the benefits. Like, no.
I'm not stupid.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care about online advertising. That's all there is to it. I don't want to give this much of myself to online advertising. Other people care this much about online advertising and they should do it. I don't. I do love policy. I do love plans. I do love process in service of people getting to be who they want to be in the world. Right. So I'm still a process and policy manager, I guess you could say, but with a whole stint in coaching and coach training and coach certification and all of those things that then started to fill in those gaps for me to bring all of it together in a way that was way more meaningful to me, way more meaningful.
And I think when you consider the fact that women are living longer and working longer, it makes so much sense to figure out what really is aligned with you. And to the best of your ability, do that. Because all of the conversations about productivity matter a whole lot less when you're trying to be more skillful at doing something that makes you miserable to begin with.
Yes. When I created what is now called the GIST program, it was actually right before my divorce process, before my separation. And I had all these really like systems in place that were keeping me on track and all this stuff. And I was looking like the stuff that was in there wasn't stuff that I cared about, right? So it was like when I got it all in front of me, I could be like, why is this in here? It like I could see, like I could feel and had to acknowledge the resentment. I had to look at these things and decide if I was going to do them or not. It made a difference to get it out of my head and in front of me to be able to see, what have I said yes to? Is this really what I want, right? Just even like day-to-day activity. And then stretch that out to achieve that goal. I don't want that goal. That's his goal. I don't want his goal, it turns out, which led to a freaking divorce. Right. But like, so it's so weird because it's like my little productivity system led to the kind of insight that allowed me to change my life for the better. Because what was happening at the day-to-day was not okay with me. And what that was going to add up to was not what I wanted. It turns out we wanted different things, you know? And it's like, and that was, and it made it easier. Divorce is hard, but it made it easier to make that decision to go be like, oh, that's what's going on here.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with me. We don't want the same things. And for some reason, it wasn't until I could see all of that in front of me, like literally in a system, I'd be like, oh, like I could feel it inside of me. I knew there was tension. I knew there was struggle. I knew there was loneliness. There's all these other things, but it was like putting that in front of me in this different way. I was like, it was like, I could step back and look at the whole picture and go, oh, that's what's going on here. Okay. All right. Yeah. We shouldn't be together.
which is why one of the most important factors about the way you help women now is clarity.
Yeah.
Without clarity, absolutely, really none of the strategies, none of the tactics, none of the systems are really actually going to make a difference, because you might be climbing the ladder that's against the wrong frickin' wall, and you do not need to get better at that.
No. Like to me, the overall, like if we talk about the highest level model that I operate off of in my life and in my business is clarity, communication, and consistency. It's like, how can I get more clear about what's going on? How can I get more clear about what I want? That's what I do for my people, right? What do you want? What's going on? We got to get this out of your head and in front of you so we can deal with it and get clear about what's going on here and how you want it to change. Then the communication is, okay, who matters? Mm. Who needs to know about this clarity that we just uncovered? Who matters most? Whether it's because they're going to be impacted or you're going to need their support. You know, it could be your, you know, financial planner or your accountant. It could be your VA. It could be your partner who's supporting you, right? It could be your kids. And then the consistency is just like, okay, you know what you want. Here's who's involved. Now, how are you going to leverage your simple systems to support you in consistent action and consistent progress forward? So it's clarity, communication, consistency, but clarity is, that's the first step.
Most productivity coaches are really only teaching consistency, how to be more consistent, how to get more done more efficiently. And that's kind of ass backwards, because if you're getting better, faster, more efficient at doing the wrong things, I don't consider that a win. So
no.
Most important question, because if you've been listening all the way to this minute, I'm sure that you adore Elise just as much as I do.
Oh.
You absolutely have to listen to the Productivity Shift podcast. But for now, I want to have some actionable impact from this conversation. What is the most effective change that a woman listening right now can make to improve her productivity? The very first thing she can do.
Can I just say, I love you for taking it to action. That is my favorite. Like to me, I'm like, what's the point of all of this? We're not going to try something, right? I would say find one safe place to get everything out of your head.
Mm.
Just one. Instead of being so scattered, instead of holding it all up here in your brain, instead of all the notebooks everywhere, find one place, because as soon as you pick the one place, it's going to automatically make it more reliable, and you will immediately feel, I'm not joking, you will immediately start to feel relief, because whatever it was, you know, you only have one place to go. You only have one place to go. I don't care where it is. It can be just one notebook right now, if that's where you're at. It can be an app right now, if that's where you're at. And you can always, you know, hit me up on social media and I'll share some of my favorite apps. But just pick one place and get everything out of your head, because you cannot prioritize what is not known. We got to get it all in front of you so you can make conscious choices. Because for me, my weird goal for you, my weird goal for women is for you to be just as happy with what's not getting done as you are with what is getting done. And you can only find that when you get it all out of your head and into a place you trust.
I wish we were in person instead of separated by miles and the magic of technology, because I would either give you a big hug or a high five right now. getting it out of your head and into a place that you can actually see it is so important. And if you are a verbal processor like me, that place could be a voice memo. Mm-hmm. You could literally talk to yourself and get it out that way, and then take that file and make it into a transcript. I often do that, and man, it's like, I did not realize I had so much going on upstairs.
Or what brilliant ideas you have in there too. Like, it's not always like, you know, like there's just so much, and we could just get it out of our heads in the simplest format possible. Then we can start to make choices about it, and then we can take action, right? We can make choices about it so that when we take action, like you said, we're taking action and climbing up the ladder on the right tree instead of the wrong one.
Love it so much. Thank you, my friend. This was a very, very productive conversation, pun intended.
Yay. Thanks so much for having me.
I created a private podcast. It's absolutely free of charge, and you can listen to it in the very same place that you're listening to me now, but it's private. So the way you get access to it is you're going to click on the link in the show notes, you'll enter your email address in the form, and it will be sent to you. There are 10 minisodes. Each of them is a backstage pass into an actual coaching conversation that I have with one of my one-on-one coaching clients. Now, you're only going to hear my voice because privacy and confidentiality are important to me, but you're going to hear what the specific challenge or problem my client was facing and the feedback, advice, or mindset shift that I offered them. In the show notes, you're also going to get key points and takeaways because, as you know, if you're simply listening, nothing changes. It's when you apply what you learn that things begin to pop. So I hope you'll sign up for it. I hope you'll binge right through it. And I especially hope you'll let me know what you think. The link is in the show notes. Go grab it.